Hey, this is Michael.
How you
I'm
all right, mate?
mailing you. All right, mate.
How you all right, mate? It's Ben. You all right, Paul? It's Thomas Tarbert.
Yeah, I'm on his fucking case
yeah.
now.
Perfect. I'm just putting his ID on now. He's on the line. He's a nice guy. He'll wait, but just
let
him hang his ID on now and I'll pop him through. Give me a new PO8. It's a March PO8 at the street. I'll pop him through for you now, Mike. No worries, mate.
Thanks, buddy. Thanks.
No worries. See you in a bit, mate.
Bye, mate. Hey, Thomas. You through to Michael at MMA Legal?
Hi, Mike.
How are you, sir?
Yeah, fine, thank you.
Fantastic. Do you have 10 minutes to have a chat with me, Thomas, about your case?
Yeah, no, that's fine.
Excellent. Just to let you know, Thomas, all of our calls are recorded for training and monitoring purposes.
Yeah.
It's my role, Thomas, at MMA, is to go out and gather your evidence to substantiate your case.
Uh-huh.
I looked at your case before. Obviously, you've been through a few different care settings, so I'll write to all the, you know, the social services and the care settings and the educational authorities and the likes. And I've gathered all that evidence for you. What I'll also, or what we do, Thomas, as well, is, I mean, I have spoken to, you know, some of your siblings, shall we say, is I get to know you a little bit more and understand, you know, the trauma that you faced as a child. How that's had an effect on you as into your adult life.
Yeah.
You know, stuff that I can evidence, Thomas, like, you know, being diagnosed with depression, anxiety, PTSD, any sort of alcohol or substance issues that you've had, I can write to, you know, GPs, NHS, you know, rehabilitation centres, the likes. And I've gathered all our evidence to paint a picture for when we submit to the Scottish Redress of not only Thomas in care, but Thomas because of care as well.
Uh-huh.
And obviously that has to be taken into consideration, Mr. Tarbert.
Yeah.
Is that uh-huh. okay?
Yeah.
All right, Thomas. So I am going to ask you some questions, you know, tough questions. Uh-huh. I'm so sorry for having to ask.
No, that's okay.
I wouldn't be doing my job for you if I didn't ask. So that being said, Thomas, have you ever been diagnosed with any sort of anxiety or PTSD or depression?
I've not, no. I think I've always sort of been used to, because from little, when eventually when we went into the home, you know, for the final sort of time, you know, where I never went back to my parents, because it was in and out,
yeah,
different places when we were really young,
yeah.
And then when we went into to Burnside, and then I never went back to my parents. After that, I ended up going to Carolina House, but although I had my sister, I've always used to sort of just kind of been on my own.
Yeah.
And then
is that Lisa, is it?
Because I didn't get in sort of trouble, so to speak, I was kind of left to myself. And
yeah.
I think I said that to Billy. I said, you know, whereas other kids who may be in trouble, maybe got, I don't mean attention, but the, you know, the people that looked after us, you know, they spoke to them. They were, you know, they had contact with them more than myself. And I think that sort of kind of carried on throughout my, I think I've just kind of been used to being sort of on my own. And I think that sort of had a sort of effect throughout my sort of life,
yeah,
in that. So,
unless you deal with things yourself.
Yeah, I think that's it. And I sort of, you know, you don't really want to, I wasn't used to talking to people in the sense of, you know, the people in the home. So I wouldn't have said anything to a doctor and things. It just keeps sort of things bottled up and that, you know.
Okay.
And I think that's sort of been the case, you know, when sort of throughout my life and things, you know,
yeah.
I think it sort of held us back, and you know, I've not sort of been able to sort of, you know, in my work environment, I've not sort of been able to push on, and you know, I think when I think back, I think I could have could have sort of done achieved more in life, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, there's people worse off than me, but I sort of, you know, but I'm sort of thinking sort of for myself, you know, when obviously since this has sort of come about and that, you know, it sort of made me look at things that I probably wouldn't have looked at before and thought, well, you know, I could have been a different person.
Yeah. You know, you think you being introverted has held you back?
Yeah.
I get that. But it's all through, you know, conditioning, isn't it, Thomas? Let's be honest. It's all you're conditioned as a child to you know, for the problems that you've had and, you know, the amount of times you've been moved around. And like you said, you know, you were left, if you like, because you weren't the one causing the issues.
Yeah.
It just gave you this, you know, resilience and a way of dealing with things that, you know, you deal with stuff yourself.
Yeah.
Have you had any issues with alcohol or substance issues?
No, I mean, I think when I was a teenager, I did drink sort of quite heavily, and and then the sort of probably into my sort of early 20s, and that I did get married. I met my kid's mum and that, and that probably helped me sort of with the drinking and things, you know, and to, you know, you sort of meet someone and that, but I did find it difficult to meet people, you know, you know, and to sort of have sort of relationships and that, because it wasn't sort of, you know, and out sort of, you know, sort of putting yourself out there and things, you know, you sort of used to keep myself to myself, and obviously some people, you know, that's difficult to meet people if you're, you know, if you're sort of keeping yourself to yourself kind of thing.
Yeah, of course, you're an introvert. That's your nature, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's the nature of being conditioned into, isn't it? Okay.
Yeah.
So my last question, Thomas, and it's the one that I dread asking. Have you ever had any sort of suicidal thoughts or actioned the suicidal thoughts?
I mean, I think I've sort of probably thought, you know, I don't know, not just sort of, you know, what's my purpose here? You know, before I had my kids, you know, I didn't sort of really have any sort of relationships and that, and I thought, well, I'm sort of, you know, I'm destined to be on my own and things, you know.
Yeah.
And I sort of liked that in the home, and then sort of, you know, you think when you sort of, you grow up and that, and then you're an adult, and you think, you know, could you sort of, you know, meet people, have a family and that, and for a long time I didn't think that would ever happen, and it did sort of, you know, I think I was sad, you know, and I was, I'd have to think back, maybe not suicidal thoughts, but I did think, well, what's my purpose here, you know, you know, to be with, and that, you know, I was never close to the family. I mean, the only one would have been my sister Lisa. But before I left the home, we'd already drifted apart anyway, you know, and then we never sort of really sort of connected back that much, you know.
Oh, that's sad, isn't it?
Yeah.
I spoke to Lisa, she's really nice.
Yeah, I mean,
she's definitely had
more difficult than myself, you know, but just, I mean, we were sort of close when, because we were the only ones together. But even then, you're not. Although we were in the home, you're not together because it's, you know, you're like, we should have been sort of brother and sister, whereas we're, well, there was other kids there, you know, and
of course,
you know, that's the thing, but yeah, no, just you sort of think back, you know, you see people at school and that, and you think, oh, wonder what it'd be like to be them, you know.
Yeah, no, I get that. Okay, so what I'll do, Thomas, is I'll write to the social services and the education authorities of all of your care settings. When I get your information back from your time in care, Thomas, do you want me to share that with you? Or not? It's up to you.
What sense would it, what would it be?
So like, just your records from the social services.
Would they have photos and things?
I'm not sure, to be honest. I don't think so. I'm not sure.
I've been doing things for my kids. They're 19 and 24, and I've been doing sort of things, you know, for photos and things, and just sort of telling them about things. You know, they ask me stuff, and I've got a few photos, you know, they ask me what I was like as a kid and things, you know, and then I try to shield it from them, you know, because my daughter especially, she gets upset when, you know, when she says that I was in, you know, when I say I was in the children's home and that, and,
yeah,
you know, and it's, but it's just sort of, but they do ask stuff and that, and ask if we've got photos and that, and I've not got a lot to sort of show, you know, they've got, you know, I'm making them a photo book and things and that, you know, and it's sort of, you know, and their mum's got loads of stuff from when she was a child and that, you know, we're not together anymore, but she's got lots of sort of childhood memories and nice things and that, you know, and it's just sort of, if there was anything like that, I would be interested in.
Okay. Well, I mean, I'm not sure about photos, but I can get you, you know, all of the paperwork, shall we say, from your time in care.
That would be great. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Okay. So what I'll do, Thomas, is when I get all of your information back, it's going to take me anywhere up to 10 months, should we say. When I get it all back, I'll copy all the information I get and I'll send it over to you.
Okay.
And then we'll arrange a time to go through that together, you and I. And obviously that's going to kick up some painful memories. So, you know, if we do that in one call, great. If we do it in 10 calls, you know, we can do it over as how many calls you want. We'll go through it together. We'll make sure that your statements for each individual care setting is all in up to date and you're happy with everything that's there. And what we'll then do is we'll do what's called our final submission to the Scottish Readdress. So what we've done so far, Thomas, just to make sure you're fully up to speed, is we've gave Scottish Redress notice that we are going to claim. But we've also told them that we are going to be providing them with support and information or evidence. So they're waiting on us to provide the information. So once we submit everything, Thomas, once you're happy with all of our evidence, once you're happy we haven't missed anything else, we'll do submission to the Scottish Redress, and then we await what's called a panel date. A panel is obviously a panel of individuals who will judge our case, but it's all done behind closed doors, Thomas, so there's no need for us to attend. And then from there, hopefully, we'll get you the recognition that you deserve, and you know, some form of offer of compensation, financial compensation, should we say?
Yeah.
Is that okay, Thomas?
Yeah, that's great. Thank you.
Okay. Do you understand that process here, or do you have any questions for me?
No, it's just obviously, you know, just thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Oh, no, I appreciate you know, it takes more guts for you to speak to me than it does for me to speak to you, Thomas. So I just massively appreciate you just being able to have a chat with me, honestly. So thank you. I just need to go back a step with you, Thomas, obviously due to the sensitive nature of these cases, and I need to make sure you are fully aware, should I say, of our fees and what other options are out there for you. And if you're happy for me to continue, then obviously gladly I will. But I'm about to start on 8 to 10 months worth of work on your behalf, so I just need to make sure you fully understand. So just to let you know, Thomas, you don't actually need a law firm to apply to the Scottish Redress Scheme. You can do that yourself. Obviously, that would entail, if you wish to, is gathering your own evidence and submitting and creating your own case, but, you know, or not, but that's entirely...
That's not something
nobody fancies that option, Thomas. Option two, Thomas, is there are other law firms out there that will help you apply to the Scottish Redress, but they won't charge you any fees. The reason why they don't charge fees, Thomas, is that they get paid directly from the Scottish Government per client as part of what's called the Government Legal Fee Scheme, where they get paid £2,000 per client, whether that client wins, loses or draws that case. Now, as a fellow law firm, I can't legally discuss those law firms' practices and what they would do for you. What they don't do for you.
Yeah, no, I could imagine that it's probably not a lot.
Yeah. Well, also I can tell you, Thomas, as a law firm, we don't participate in that scheme. We don't want a handout from the Scottish Government, and we definitely don't want to be owing anything to the Scottish Government.
Yeah.
So what we do, Mr. Tarbert, is we enter into a private fee agreement with yourself under a no-win, no-fee contract. And what that means is, obviously, you win, we win, you lose, we lose together. It's on us as a law firm to go out and gather as much evidence as we possibly can to give you the best chance of gaining the most out of this process. Our fees, Thomas, are capped at 16% plus VAT. What does that mean? So that means our fees, the max you will ever pay us, no matter how much time and work and effort goes onto your case, is 19.2%. including the VAT. So you'll never pay us more than that. On the flip side, Thomas, the no-fee side, because of the trauma you've been through as a child, obviously that's bled into your adult life, if we are unsuccessful with this case, we will never come looking for our fees from you. It's a genuine no-win, no-fee, Thomas. And our insurance company and our insurance policy will cover all of our fees, our end. So... There's no axe hanging over your head. There is a potential free roll of the dice, if you like.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that.
Is that okay, Thomas?
Yeah, that's fine.
Do you understand those two options I've just given you, sir?
Yeah.
Okay, are you still happy for me to continue with your case?
Yeah.
Excellent. Thomas, just to let you know, sir, from the date you signed any documentation with us, you have what's called a 14-day cooling-off period. Cooling off just means if you want to change your mind, up until 14 days, you can rip up the paperwork and contract with us and walk away. If you're unaware of the 14-day cooling off period, they can restart it from today.
Billy explained all that before, and that, so that's fine.
Yeah. So yeah, if you're happy, you can waive the 14-day cooling off period, Thomas, and we can get started on your case.
Yeah, no, that's fine, yeah.
Okay, you're happy to waive the 14-day cooling off?
Yeah.
I'll write to you within the next 2 weeks with all my contact details. In the meantime, if you need to get hold of me, give Billy a call or Ben, they'll pass you over to me. But you'll have my number in the next 2 weeks. And if you need me for anything, then just call me. I'll be in touch every 3 to 4 weeks, either by email or a phone call. And yeah, I'll walk you through to the end now, Thomas.
Okay, thank you.
Is that okay, sir? Do you have any questions for me?
No, no, that's fine. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Thomas. Thank you so much for speaking to me today.
Okay,
Enjoy the rest of your day, sir, and your weekend.
You too. Cheers.
Bye, Thomas.
Thank you.
Bye now.
Bye.